This is Doc Mike, host of Right on the Left Coast podcast. This is a podcast about homestead living at the Ravenwood Homestead here in Oregon. We share our experiences and discuss topics that may affect living the homestead lifestyle. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me tonight here live on Real Liberty Media. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the downloads. This has just been awesome. I know something, I don't know what happened with the volume there. That was crazy. I honest to God, I had everything set up. It was just fine. I don't know what happened, but so be it. Let's see. What do we have here? Hey, I just want to share this for you. So I always use this one webcam to intro the show, and it's called the Explore Live Nature Cams. Explore Live Nature Cams. It's on YouTube, unfortunately, but it's always cool. So today, they have a new camera up. It's in Texas. It is a mama raccoon in her little den. Looks like a tree. I don't know, probably. There's four cameras, obviously. If you see in the video, it's obvious. There's four cameras. One is inside the den. The other three must be the area that she explores when she comes out of the den. And she's got two little baby kits with her. Kits. I don't know what you call them. We always call them kittens, raccoon kittens. But anyway, let's get back to this because, man, it has been a week and I want to share it with you. Let's get through this. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media and I don't turn left. Hey, the mainstream media is done. Nobody pays attention to that stuff. People are looking for podcasts. They're looking for information. They're looking for entertainment. And if they're like me, I'm looking to enjoy some time, man. Entertain me. Have some fun. And, yeah, I need to kind of keep aware of what's going on in the world a little bit. Well, so I can share it with you and kind of share how it affects us on the homestead mostly. Oh, yeah, I missed Wednesday's show. I'm telling you, Wednesdays are getting to be one of these things with me. It's just like by the end of the day on Wednesday, I've done a bunch of stuff. I'm ready to do the show. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, I don't know, man. I'm just going to kick it here and relax. But we'll see. I love doing the show. It's just like, I don't know. Lately, I've been reprioritizing stuff lately, and the show on Wednesdays just hasn't been making it, but it will. I'll get back to it, especially when it gets when the weather gets ugly again. Hey, if you all are on any social media sites, could you post that we are live here on Real Liberty Media, and you know, get people to come on over, join us, and see what we're doing here, for crying out loud. All right, so I wanted to share a couple things. You guys all know I had my shoulder MRI and the scan, and so I took a shot. I took, not that shot, I took a cortisone shot in my shoulder because I don't have a full tear of the rotator cuff. It's a partial tear. Oh, Pebbles is going to make an appearance. Hang on. There you go, good girl. Oh, she's rubbing on the microphone. That must be annoying. Let's see. I know. Well, good show. Way to go, Pebbles. You should get on the camera. I should get you on the camera somehow. I wonder if I just tilt this down. There she is. Oh, you can't see her. No. Okay. Oh. All right. Let's get back to it. I got to readjust the camera now because it's jacked up. Oh, my goodness. You are noisy. Come on, camera. Let's go. Let's do this. Oh, my God. She is being so annoying. This is awesome. She's banging into the microphone. She's banging into the camera, which is precariously perched here. But anyway, she's, I don't know. She wants something. I know you want food or something, don't you? Oh, my God. I got to reset everything for crying out loud. Okay. Gosh darn it. Let's go. So where was I at? Let's see. Oh, my shoulder. Okay, so I took a cortisone shot in my shoulder. This is why. I know, thanks. Because I don't have a full tear in my, what is it called? Rotator cuff. Kind of a partial tear. There's some rough edges. And he explained it to me. You know, I was just glad to hear it wasn't a full tear. But here's the deal. That shot is either going to work or not work. If it doesn't work, I'll be getting surgery. Maybe clean it up a little bit. I've got to say, I probably have noticed a slight bit of improvement, but really it's not enough to make me better. It's early. I think I got the shot on Tuesday. It's Saturday, 4 days, probably not enough time to let it work. But anyway, okay. So the next thing is we moved the newest guineas to the chicken coop, not to mingle with the others, just to get used to being in the coop. We have three sections in the chicken coop. The guineas are in the middle section, and all the hens and all the other birds are in the south section. And they're going to stay there for a couple weeks, and then we'll put them all together and then let them out after a couple days and see what it's like. But amazing thing is, all 14 of those survived. You know, the first batch of 14, I had one survive. So I don't know. I've kind of gone through this on a couple episodes. I'm not 100% sure what happened, you know. But something happened. I wonder if I should feed her. She's got food. You got food, little girl. Oh, okay. Just make noise. Just make noise. Everybody be glad to hear it. Moving on. The guineas are good. Okay, so y'all know I broke my tractor, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, got it fixed, got it back. We were going to go rent a tiller this weekend, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go buy one because it's much cheaper to rent a tiller. I understand that. There's a tiny bit of hassle in that, you know, taking a trailer down, putting a tiller on it, bringing it back, hooking up the trailer, tailing, you know, then getting it back on time, whatever that is. It's not that big of a hassle, really, but, you know, we just decided we're just going to buy our own tiller. We can till whenever we want. We can till however much we want. We don't have to make any plans. And the other thing is, the place where you get the tiller, you can't reserve them. So you just have to go down there, and if they have one, you're in luck. And if they don't, well, you made a trip to town, 15 miles, 30 miles round trip for nothing. So we just went down and bought one. Now, here's the bad news. So I bought the tiller. I bring it home yesterday. We're all ready to kind of get hooked up and get going on tilling. Oh, that raccoon is so cute. Stretching, yawning. Oh, you guys will see it on the video, BitChute or Rumble. Check out the podcast over there. Anyway, so I brought the tiller home. I go to hook it up on the tractor. I cannot get it to hook up to the tractor. This is like everything I tried, it seemed like something was 3 inches short. And I tried up all different, you know, and I've done this before. So it's not like this is new, like, you know, something foreign that I haven't done. I've done it a few times. And I just thought, okay, I give up. I just give up. I don't know what the heck is wrong, but I cannot get this thing loaded up. So, a little drive-by cat. We'll call her Drive-By today. Her name is Pebbles. We'll call her Drive-By. So I call the dealer back, and I'm like, hey, I don't know what happened, but I think you guys gave me the wrong drive shaft for this tiller because I cannot get it on. And they go, oh, you have to have that cut down. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, it's got to be cut down. It's got to be cut down to fit your tractor. I'm like, well, I wish, you know, somebody would have told me that this morning when I bought the damn thing. It would have been kind of nice to know I was going to have this custom fit to the tractor. So, of course, it was so late in the day by the time I figured that out. I said, okay, I said, I probably can't get that done this weekend, right? And they said, well, actually, we probably could do it this weekend. So they had me bring it in this morning. And I went early, man. I got out of here 7:45, got the tiller and the whole thing, the tractor, the tiller, everything had to go so they could make sure it fit. So we went to town, we dropped that off, we went and made a few other rounds of stuff that we really didn't need to do, but since we were in town, we did it anyway. And they got it done by like 10:30, and I brought it back. Man, I don't know, I got a feeling she's going to drop something on my head. She's way up on a shelf behind me now. That's okay, it would make for good video. You know, it'd be one of those viral moments, I'm sure. She's up there in a bucket, just digging like crazy. So if you listen real carefully, you can hear her just in this bucket, digging like crazy. Like she's trying to make a bed or something. That's kind of funny. I really had no intention of her, you know, making any kind of showing on the show today at all, and boom, there she is. Well, she didn't really. Oh, a fox just went by this raccoon den. There's going to be some drama right here on the show while we're live. No, there won't be, because I got to go to the next thing. You guys got to see this. Now, this is okay. So what I'm showing you, and my big fat head is in the way. Oh, I'll go to browser only. Now I got to remember to get off of browser only, because last week I stayed on the browser and you couldn't see all the stupid stuff I do when I'm live. Okay, so here's the deal. We have had eight months of rain, of cold, of snow, of ice, of sleet, constant, nearly, rain. Right? 8 months. So from October or September of last year till 3 days ago. And I'm not saying we didn't have some nice days in there, here and there. This is Pacific Northwest. It's pretty well known for rain and snow and cloudiness and constant, you know, gray, you know, fog and drizzle and whatever. Okay, so here's what happens. It gets hot. You can see it right here on the screen. Saturday, 92 degrees. That's today. Sunday, 91. Monday, 90. It's like their hair is on fire talking about a freaking heat wave. I'm not kidding. It's so out of control. It's like, you know, and of course, I get it, all the standard warnings coming out. Don't take your dog out for a drive and leave him in the car while you're in shopping, or, you know, don't get distracted. Don't leave your kids in the car, and your car can heat up to 140 degrees in 20 minutes, and, you know, on and on. But especially the heat wave, you know, first heat wave of the season. And of course, I can't listen to these people much because, you know, they're going to start talking about climate change. You just can't get away from it. Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm going to get distracted here a second. I just want to tell you, I was watching a really great show today, you know, for entertainment purposes, and it sounded interesting. It was called like Astronomy of Senegal or Stars of Senegal or something, Star Chasers of Senegal. And I was like, huh, well, that sounds interesting. Well, sure enough, it was a show about this guy who's trying to get people interested in astronomy in Senegal, and he's trying to bring a space program to Senegal. Well, one of the things in the very beginning, and you have to see, this is when you're watching these kind of programs, you know they're going to start talking about some political agenda. No matter what it is, you know they're going to start talking about it. They have to put it in there somewhere. Well, they were talking about the history of this area in Africa, and they showed these buildings that were apparently the buildings where slaves were sold, okay? And the buildings were right on the water. And the guy was saying this was, you know, this could have very likely been the last view that slaves had as they left their homeland headed for America, right? And it was, of course, the whole, you know, selling slaves, America buying slaves and being enslaved and all that stuff. But here's what you didn't hear. As they were showing this picture of this historic building that's obviously been there hundreds of years, the water level, you could tell, was just like, you could tell where the ships would pull up and moor and take on cargo, whatever that is, or slaves, or people, or whatever. And I was looking at that, picture, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. You look at that picture, and you look at how it was, I mean, it wasn't modern concrete or anything like that. It was, you know, kind of a rocky approach. And anyway, my point is, so it was a warehouse, I'm assuming, where the slaves were held until the ships came in and then were just walked out to the ship or probably dragged or God knows what. But the point is, while they're making this point about slavery, I'm looking at the water level and thinking, okay, that's been 400, 500 years. You know? And the water level is, it's the ocean. And it's the same. I mean, there may have been some difference, but it was probably minimal. I got a cough. Hang on. All right, hopefully got that out of the way. So anyway, back to the weather of today. So everybody's hair was on fire for, you know, the last week, predicting that we're going to have a heat wave. And switch the setting back here. Yeah, so, you know, so here's the first heat wave. And yeah, it's unusual. Okay, but I got to tell you just how crazy this has appeared to me. So this is the warmest. They set a record yesterday in Portland by a degree. They probably set a record today in Portland by a degree. And they set a record tomorrow. Maybe. Okay, so 3 days in May that they may set a record, okay, for heat. And overnight lows are probably going to have higher temperatures. It's going to be a warmer low than ever recorded tonight, last night, tonight, and tomorrow. But so here's the news, and I'll use air quotes, here's the news that kind of slips away from everybody's attention. March and April here in Oregon were the coldest and wettest months, like on record, for 40, 50, 60 years, maybe ever. The coldest, wettest months on record. Months, mind you. Not a couple days that are hot and that are out of the, you know, average bell curve. They're above, you know, they're way up there above that 95 percentile. Months. It was the coldest, wettest climate in Oregon. But here we go with the hair on fire, global warming, heat wave, 3 days. Oh, my God. You know, take cover, and there probably won't be any power because, you know, everybody's going to be running their air conditioning trying to stay cool. And people, of course, are going to drown because they're going to jump in 44-degree weather. And, you know, if you listen to the last few shows, I did a story on how Oregon or Washington, one of the two, has to put up signs that the water is cold because people are so stupid they'll just jump in 44 degree water and think they're going to survive, and you know there's a good likelihood you won't survive. Take your breath away and then you suck in a lung full of water and down you go, and then you know you're hypothermic anyway, or will become quickly. Anyway, it's just the craziest thing. You know, how different, you know, topics are talked about like this. Like, I'm thinking to myself, when they were talking about 90, I was like, oh, that's going to suck. You know, it's going to suck that it's 90, but it's going to dry out the ground a little bit. So, of course, we planned on tilling and we plan on planting. We have all kinds of plants ready to go. We have plants started in the greenhouse. We have plants in the hydroponic. We have the soil ready to go. We tilled now. We had mowed everything down. It's composted over the winter, all that stuff. Everything's good to go. I'm like, man, we got a week of warm weather ahead. This is awesome. Not awesome 90s. I hate 90s. But it's not the end of the world, and it's not a heat wave. I mean, what constitutes a heat wave? 2 days in the 90s in Oregon is now a heat wave? I mean, we used to talk about heat waves when it was frickin' hot, you know, 106, 104 for 4 days or whatever. And listen how crazy this is. I actually heard a weatherman today say, the average number of 90-degree days we get here in Oregon, specifically in the Upper Willamette Valley of Oregon, is 14. So think about this. Only 14 days out of the year are going to be 90 degrees or above. 14. Oh, and I got to tell you something else. Something else that a guy in Washington said. They were talking to him about the fire season, you know, because, of course, that's the next thing on the horizon is fire season. And, of course, it's because of global warming. And, of course, it's because of greenhouse gases. And, of course, it's because of man-made, all that stuff, right? So he says, yeah, we no longer have a fire season. We have a fire year. And I was like, what does that mean? We don't have a fire year. We just had 8 months of soaking wet rain. Like flooding rain. Rain that didn't soak in the ground. It was just running off, you know, down into the tributaries and rivers and off into the ocean. Because the ground was so damn saturated, it couldn't hold any more water for weeks. You're not going to start anything on fire out there. So how can you say we have now have a fire year? God dang, man. And this is the saddest part of this whole thing. That you have people that will just sit there and hear that, and they will just, they'll just go on and tell their friends, you know, yeah, we, you know, now we have a fire year. We no longer have a fire season. Yeah, because so-and-so on the, from the Oregon, you know, climatology survey said, or the Washington Fire District says we no longer have a fire season, we have a fire year. It's the craziest thing, and I see these people every day. I say stuff, you know, I'll say stuff that's just to kind of let my own political agenda out and to correct some thinking that I think is wrong and just to kind of make people accountable for what they're saying. And you hear them spout this stuff off, you know, or the whole story is all of it, you know, from vaccines and vaccinations to the government. Every single bit of that stuff they believe in. Oh, by the way, so had a friend of the family. Totally believed in the vaccination. 2 vaxes, all the boosters he could get. Dead. He's dead. Yeah, he got COVID. He got COVID, never recovered from it, died of a heart attack. Wow. So surprised. I'm so surprised. And I'm not kidding. So this is kind of the stuff I have to figure out how to enjoy my life. Because I think a huge number of the population has been poisoned, let's say. Damaged. made ready to be exterminated. And what didn't happen in the first couple years is going to just slowly take its toll. So you got to be having fun and be aware, kind of stay alert and aware. I'm going to take a tiny bit of a side here. Yeah, like that's new, right? So I was out working on that tiller yesterday for an hour and a half or 2 hours in the straight-on sun in 90-degree heat. I was sweating like a pig. And I have my coveralls on, you know, my bib overalls. I should say overalls, not coveralls. And I worked out there, you know, till I just was like, yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm not doing this anymore. And I came in and I was tired and beat and I was hot and sweaty. And, you know, I was like, I wonder if I should do my cardio. I probably don't have to do my cardio now. And man, there's this conversation that's going on, like, well, should I go do my cardio or should I just relax? Man, I was out there in the heat. Well, honestly, you got to do your cardio. You know, if you're going to do what you can to stay healthy, and this is something I wish that younger people around me would understand. You know, I have people every day who I work with or I see daily who can't understand how, well, let's just say without pointing fingers, they have issues that would easily be fixed if they did something for 20 minutes a day. If they actually got their heart rate up for 20 minutes a day, I think it would change their lives. And like I've always been fairly active. Well, since I was 40, I've been fairly active. Like always, every day, doing something to get my heart rate up. Could be a reason why I survived that heart attack. It could be a reason why I didn't have that heart attack in my 50s. Who knows? Who knows? But so here's my point. Like, so today, you know, it's like, okay, I, you know, did a bunch of stuff with the tiller. I was outside kind of before it got too hot, but I was still outside working. Did a little tilling. I had to load the tractor on this morning, unload it this after or later in the morning when we got back, make sure everything was working on it, you know, and then it was time for me to come in and just start cooling down. So I come in and start cooling down in the same conversation, like, you know, I probably really don't have to do cardio today. Yeah, you do. Like 4 to 6 days a week, you should be doing something to get your heart rate up for 20 minutes. 20 minutes, it's a minimum. Now, believe me, you don't have to tell me that you're too busy. Because I can't get people to brush their teeth for 2 minutes. Not that I try that much. I mean, people know. It's like smoking. Should you smoke? No. Do you? Yeah. Okay, well, that's the choice you've made. You know, do you want to save your teeth? Yeah. Do you brush them? No. Well, that's a choice you made. And people tell me all the time, every single day I hear that, you know, I'm too busy to brush my teeth. Oh, I'm too busy to floss. Okay. Well, just don't expect your dentist to be able to fix all the damage that's done. You know, if you choose to ignore them, I mean, they're going to go away. That's the simple answer here. But your health, man, you know, we always talk about like what we're doing to survive. You know, how are you going to survive whatever's coming at you? You know, a natural disaster, interruption in the market, crashing of the dollar, you know, full takeover by who knows who. You know, you have to be healthy in the first place. I mean, you have to be healthy enough to move. You have to be able to move, you know, from here to there to get your food, to get your water, to prepare it. And you have to be able to, yeah, you have to be, no, I don't do my exercise outside. It's always indoors. So wasn't air conditioned, but it was cool enough. It, you know, it was fine. But, you know, that you have to be healthy enough. You know, just healthy enough. Take care of yourselves. Be ready. I mean, I'm not kidding. Every day, it's just like mentally I feel weak. And I'm not. I mean, I still do a lot of the same stuff I did 2 years ago, right? I still get on the tread and the bike for 40 minutes total. However I divide that up, whether I do 40 minutes on the tread or 20 on the tread, 20 on the bike, or 30 and 10 or whatever, I still do it. And I don't have any problem getting my heart rate up and going kind of faster and harder and seeing how my body handles it. And am I getting exhausted, or can I find a pace where I can just, you know, cruise on through and keep going? But I know, man, the time is catching up with me. My wife and I, I'm not kidding. So I was sitting in the man cave, and she was sitting out in what we call the clubhouse, which is a covered area. It's got three walls of the house surrounding it, but it's a roof over it. So we sit out there sometimes, and I see her get up, and she's got her hand on her back, you know, like an old lady, like, oh, my back. And then I get up, and I can't stand up straight because my knees are killing me. Remember, I tore that meniscus about a year ago and had to get it fixed, which led to the heart attack, all that stuff you probably know. And I'm just laughing because we don't feel like we're old, but Jesus, when you look at us doing some things like trying to get out of a chair, it's like, holy hell, how come I hurt so much? Or I'm so stiff, you know, or especially now on blood thinners. I hit the left side of my knee on something in the last couple of days, and we were sitting in the hot tub, and Rochelle says, holy hell, what did you do there? And I go, I have no idea. And she said, that bruise is as big as my fist. And I go, I know. Well, I'm on blood thinners. What do you expect? I mean, I don't know if I told this story about a week ago. The bear and the neighbor dog, the neighbor dog is a herd dog, those white ones, beautiful white dogs. God, I just think they're gorgeous dogs. And they're really good dogs, but something happened, man, and that dog came straight up to the gate of where we sit, and Bear, who is part pit, part Weimaraner, and part something else, he's usually a pretty damn good dog, but this was a violation of everything, like his property. He was too close to me, he was, you know, beyond the boundaries that Bear would allow, and Bear charged after this dog, broke straight through a gate, and kind of crashed into the granddaughter on the way to get this dog. And he got that dog by the neck, and I'm running out there trying to get him apart, and well, somebody nipped me. Like, or they didn't nip me, I stuck my hand between their their mouths. That sounds so stupid when I say it, but this is the truth. I stuck my hand between their heads so I could keep them from fighting, and of course I got a poke, a little, like, abrasion. That damn thing bled for like a day and a half. Damn blood thinners, man. Oh, well, so I hope that what I'm getting across to you is, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to have a good time. In order to continue to have that good time, I have to keep my health up. So I got to get on the tread. I got to do that thing. And I just look at it like this. So if I want to sit down and play a video game, or I want to sit down and watch a show with Rochelle for an hour or two, or, you know, there's a game on right now. The Brewers are playing. You know, it's like 2 hours, almost 3 hours. Of course, I'm doing my show and stuff. But I think, okay, before that stuff happens today, I got to get my cardio done, because my cardio allows me to continue doing that stuff. And I hope you guys think about that the same way. Same with your teeth. You know, if you enjoy food, I wish I could tell young people, listen, if you really enjoy food, I don't care about your teeth. Number one, I do not care about your teeth. They're your teeth. Figure out how to take care of them. But if you like food, you really should think about saving your teeth. Like, spend some time taking care of them. because as you lose teeth, it's harder to chew, it's harder to enjoy, it's harder to be satisfied with, you know, food, and eventually if you end up with a denture that covers up a bunch of taste buds, and you can't feel the food properly, and you can't taste the food properly, you can't smell it the same, yeah, you're going to be pissed that you didn't keep your teeth your whole life. But it kind of goes along with this cardio thing, man. Just go walk for 20 minutes, or, you know, exercise bike or elliptical or rowing machine, something to get your heart rate up for 20 minutes. Three times a week, 20 minutes. That's what the American Heart Association says. And the American Cancer Society. All those people make recommendations like 20 minutes three times a week. I know it's big. It's 20 minutes. I get that. I was looking at when I started doing this cardio thing, and before I came back to work, I was like, oh, okay, so I'm only going to do it on the days I'm off, which at that time was 3 days a week. Well, when I went down to working 3 days and having 4 days a week off, it's like, oh, 4 days a week off, I'll do it then. No, you do it 5 or 6 days a week. I'll find the time to do it because it's important. All right, I want to get into something funny, Matt. Well, no, this is not funny. Wait, let me see. What all do I have to talk about today? Oh, yeah, the heat wave, run for your life. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Whales and wind farms. I just want to take a second out and tell you what I was thinking about in this last week. But I didn't take a lot of time to write down the stuff I wish I would have wrote down. But I'm just going to, this is my little editorial for this 1 hour show. Because I was thinking, you know, I got to get a drink. I was thinking, okay, you men who want to be transgender, I think it's time that you take the test. You know, I think you should qualify to be transgender. And this test is not by any means going to reflect 100% what women do. Just a couple things. Just a couple tiny things that I'd like men who wish to be transgender to do. I have a few ideas for those bio males who think they want to be a woman. Let's start with figuring out a way to make you feel yucky for a week. I mean a week every month, or, you know, 28 days. 1 week out of 28 days. And oh yeah, let's have you pass blood and clots out of your private area. We will have to administer some drug or maybe tainted food that will help you mostly cramp up for that week too. Yeah, let's do that for a year. Then guess what? You get to take a few months off. Like, off. You will be grateful for the relief for a couple of those months. Then we will have to put some pressure on your insides. Enough that you can't eat comfortably because there is something crowding your inside spaces. We'll work on that. We'll work on what that should be. Maybe air, maybe some cool new implant, or maybe a body part that the Chinese need grown for one of their elite members. But yeah, we'll leave that in for a few months and just let it keep growing somewhere around 9 months. We will offer you some relief by surgically removing the organ, one, so we can collect the funds from the Chinese, but then we'll ask you to pass, and yes, I do mean pass, one last test. You'll have to push a melon out of your private part. Since we know you likely would not survive a full-grown watermelon, we will pick a somewhat lighter version, like not a watermelon, maybe just a honeydew, a cassava, or a cantaloupe. Then you can carry that around for a couple years, adding a few pounds every couple months, and you can carry that around for, you know, 2 years. And I don't mean, you know, you pick it up and you drop it off at the car or whatever. No, you're going to carry this thing around for a couple years. On your hip, on your little chest pack, on your backpack, in your arms while you're trying to make dinner or trying to get your other kids off to school. You're going to take care and hold this thing for 2 years. As you can see, I have limited time to prep this idea, but I think I'm on to something. Come on, Tranny, show that you are serious about this desire. Believe me when I say, women make that shit look easy. You are not man enough to be a woman. And that's my take on that. So on to the next topic. I'm not kidding. I've had it with this whole trans thing and people thinking that it's a mental illness. We need to get beyond it. But I'm going to continue to grow this idea. Trust me on this one. Oh, just in case you think we haven't lost our minds. Wait, what is this? Oh, yeah. I'll bring it up here in a minute. I want to get something ready. FDA approves first pill containing human feces. And I know, you know, people out there are going to say, oh, but, you know, there's people who, you know, their gut bacteria is all jacked up. Well, why is that? And is this the answer? Do you see this? I mean, it's literally feces in a pill. Right? Now, most of the people, I guess, who are following me, especially here on the Homestead Show, are going to be pretty safe because, you know, you're eating good food or thinking about eating good food. You're taking care of yourself. You're making better choices than other people. But, you know, and this, I know there's some component. I really believe deep in my heart there's a component to how the gut, how people's bowels have been screwed up by GMO foods. I'm just 100% convinced because I've lived in this period of life where I've seen people who, you know, I mean, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, I mean, people got sick, yeah. People got cancer and died, yeah. But people didn't have, like, chronic bowel disease or inflammatory bowel disease or Crohn's, all these diseases that are gut failures, leaky gut syndrome. Honestly, and what has happened between now and then? Yeah, I'm sure a lot of things, global warming or global cooling or the coming ice age or the coming heat wave or whatever the hell it is. But one thing that's been consistent is in our food that actually travels through our gut, we have more and more genetically modified foods. I even saw something this week. I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of meat has been cleared to be sold in the market, which means more than likely that means sold without you knowing that it's genetically modified. But yeah, so here we have, you know, just the next phase of craziness in our world. FDA approves first pill containing human feces. So, you know, you can get your gut bacteria back to normal. There's other ways, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I've heard, you know, when I started hearing about this a few years ago, they were like taking feces from somebody and putting it in your whatever. And I knew something was wrong. Like, and I heard back then, no, there's no other way to fix this, which I really don't believe. I'm thinking there's another way to fix this, but just for now or then, they were saying, you know, this is the only way. You need a fecal implant. No, my mind just went to a very dirty place. You need a... Nope. We're moving on. Okay. So what would be next? Where'd my notes go? Here they are. Give me a second here because I want to get through some of this stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I did want to take about the border crisis because this really could affect your homestead, honestly. And I've been thinking about this. So, the whole thought is that there's going to be tens of thousands, 10 times more people coming across the border than have come across the border. That's the southern border of the United States, by the way. But, so I was thinking, well, this would be perfect because you know, they are not going to stay along the border. I can tell you that. Number one, Governor Scott, wait, what's his name? Scott, right? The guy, the governor of Texas? He's not having it. He's like, nope, we're not letting them invade Texas, basically. We're going to, you know, mobilize some of our own troops, and we're going to get them the hell out of here, and we're going to send them to you, whoever you are. And that would be me in Oregon. So I was thinking, I should start picking up some supplies because I'm going to have really cheap labor here pretty soon. There's going to be an abundance of available labor because, of course, Oregon is a sanctuary state, basically. Well, no, just a couple cities are. But the governor would let you believe it's a sanctuary state. And, you know, they're all welcome here. Like, we don't have enough problems with drugs and homelessness and, you know, everything that goes on in Portland, Salem, Eugene. But yeah, we'll take however many you got. So Governor Scott, you want to send some up here? Put them on the bus, send them directly to Salem or Portland. Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, he'd be happy to take in a few thousand. What's that? Tina Kotek, the governor of Oregon, she would love to have tens of thousands come into the state here. They say we're a sanctuary state, you know, and we can take them. So just send them on up here. Send them on up here. So when I drive through Home Depot or Lowe's, when I, you know, go out early in the morning, I can just ask whoever, you know, wants to do some work for the day. And I could get, man, I saw a stretch of fence. I was kind of going about the fence the other day. I'll tell you why in a sec. And I was looking at the fence in the northwest corner of the property, and I was like, you know what? This fence wouldn't keep a dog in. It's literally so low. Like, it's collapsed over the years. It's just slowly started saying, I need to get that fence put up. But what I might do is just buy a new fence and have it, you know, have it installed. Real cheap labor. That would be awesome. I mean, everybody wants to eat, and, you know, they all want to earn their keep. You know, they want to earn some money to get food or buy, you know, new Nikes or whatever. So, yeah, I could employ them for a little bit. I'll just pick them up, you know, and Mac there, and when we're done, I'll take them back and drop them off. It'd be awesome. And pay them. Good labor. Good labor, too, man. Not that I've done this before. I'm just saying. It would work out pretty handy. So Governor Scott's not having it there in Texas. He's said to hell with it. We're not going to let that happen here. I actually have a couple good stories, maybe funner stories I want to share with you. Let's see, how far down do I have to go? God dang it. I've been meaning to get to that story forever and I haven't got to it, but it's may or may not. It's going to happen today. But I wanted to tell you guys this. This is the coolest thing I think I've seen in a few days. I had no idea this was a thing. This is called the Audible Bat Project, and I'll just tell you what I'm thinking here. So the Oregon State University and the Cascades, I guess it's the Cascade branch of Oregon State University here in Oregon, they actually have reports of this bat that lives in the high desert that they say, like, most bats have an echolocation that cannot be heard by human beings. But there's one or two species of bat that live in Oregon that actually have an audible echolocation sound. So this is awesome. They're asking people to come out and camp with them in eastern Oregon for a few days or, you know, a week, I don't know, for some time. And what you're going to do is this is a live show. Cowboy Tech, not sure if this is live or recorded. It's live. I'm live. You got this, Cowboy Tech. I generally don't put up a recorded show. No, if I put it up, I just put it up on the site. I don't actually play it during my time period, which is kind of sad, right? I should play something. Anyway, so this is what I think is kind of funny, though, is, so I'd really like to go do this and help them out. But I got a feeling I'm missing that frequency from my hearing, and I'll tell you why. So when you're a dentist, you use this one drill that's air-powered, and it's really high-pitched. And it wipes out that real high-frequency level of hearing, which I think these bats are probably up in that range. But I was wondering, I really don't have to tell them, right? Like, I don't have to tell them that I can't hear that well. Like, I wonder if they do a hearing test before you go out. They probably do. Who knows? Maybe they'd have you do something else if you don't hear that well. Like, maybe you could, I don't know, hold the microphones or, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But I thought that was kind of cool. One of these bats is called the spotted bat. Let's see if they have a picture of it. I haven't perused this site yet. Oh, no. They don't. Let's see. Shall we go in search of? Let's try it. Spotted bat. Let's just see if they have pictures, because this is pretty unique. So the problem is that this bat is really rare. Like, like one was spotted some time ago. Let's go to images. Like, I think a long time ago, like a long time ago, like 40 years or something, and maybe there's only been one or two sightings since then. I'm looking for the actual article. Bats of Oregon. Here, let's just try this. Bats of Oregon. You got a spotted one? Man, I was looking for a picture they had on their little promo trying to get you to go with them. I think it's this one, honestly. Yeah, see the spots on its little face there? And there's a foot, there's its ears, and then these spots on the back here. There's actually Oregon Spotted Bat Project. Let's see, they got pictures? Is it going to take me back to the same spot? Come on. No, that's it. That is the actual thing right there. That's really cool. Okay, so anyway, I thought that was cool because, you know, my original degree was in biology. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Biology. That's the degree I got on my way to going to dental school. Hey, I want to run down this one thing real quick. Not well put together. I'm just going to do this real quick. And then if I have time, I'm going to tell you another story. So here's some natural alternatives to ibuprofen. It says, didn't you know that Merck's blockbuster drug, Vioxx, caused more than 27,000 deaths and heart attacks between 1999 and 2003. In fact, it was the FDA's own drug safety researcher, David Graham, who blew the whistle on the agency in 2004 at a congressional hearing, estimating that more than 60,000 Americans died as a result of its use and FDA's inaction around their well-known side effects. What does this have to do with ibuprofen? Researchers have known that ibuprofen is at least as dangerous as Vioxx for at least 6 years, but millions continue to take this drug daily without receiving adequate warning. But here's a deal. I'm just going to run these down real quick, but each one comes with a study. So these are natural remedies that can help relieve pain and inflammation. Here is one. Topical treatment with arnica is as effective as ibuprofen for hand osteoarthritis. Here, ginger. Found that ginger was as effective as ibuprofen for pain symptoms associated with difficult menstrual cycles. That'll help with our little trans test. Although we're not going to give them anything to relieve their pain, little whining babies. Okay. Turmeric, a 2014 study, found that turmeric extracts were as effective as ibuprofen for relieving symptoms of knee osteoarthritis. This is kind of good because a lot of people take ibuprofen for arthritis pain, and here you're finding that they're, and you'll have to read these articles to see, like what amounts people use and how, if they were used in a tincture, in a gel cap, or just in a tea or whatever. Thyme, a 2004 study found that an extract of thyme was used was as effective as ibuprofen in reducing pain and spasm symptoms associated with difficult menstrual cycles. Again, omega-3 fatty acids, a 2006 study found that omega-3 fatty acid supplementation with fish oil helped neurosurgery patients reduce their need for medications and experience results consistent with previous research indicating palliative effects at least as effective as ibuprofen. Cinnamon. A 2015 study found that cinnamon was as effective as ibuprofen for pain associated with difficult menstrual cycles. Okay, so three of those six had to do with menstrual cycles, which is cool because anytime you cannot take a medication, remember that medications, so the way we actually make a drug work is we take advantage of its toxic properties, or we somehow manipulate those toxic properties to work for what we assume as our good. Although I really think the more we can get back to basics, if you can find some natural remedy to, you know, to get you through whatever, to either relieve your pain or get rid of some arthritis, I think that's a good idea. Anyway, so on to the next story. I'm not going to tell you the story about my life, but I'll save it. Y'all, we'll come back to it at some point. I wanted to talk about this because I think this is funny. So I heard recently that the wind farms that they're trying to build in the Atlantic Ocean off the east coast of the United States and Canada are, they think, could be related to these whales dying, because all of a sudden whales are turning up like crazy and they're dying like crazy on the East Coast. Like one a day is showing up. That's an average, because there's seven or eight that show up. And then, you know, they go and they necropsy them all. But listen to this. This is so funny. I thought this was kind of so typical. So it says, four whales die in 4 days. Wind farms creating death zone at sea, says ex-Greenpeace boss. Now, I have no respect for Greenpeace people at all, because I had personal encounter with them for over a long period of time when I was in the Coast Guard. We had some northern fur seals that got sick and had to be taken care of. Oh, a minute and 44 seconds. And Greenpeace was there to help take care of them. And those people, well, not one, they were either stupid. Well, they were probably somewhat stupid. And they were mean. And they were grouchy. And they didn't really care about the animals at all. They just wanted to make, you know, whatever political statement they were making. On the other hand, people who really did care for these sea lions, northern fur seals, you know, would actually take care of them. But anyway, so what they're saying is, when they go out to build these wind mills, wind turbines at sea, they got to drop depth charges, and they got to pulse sound waves. They got to do all kinds of stuff, and they think it's screwing up the whales. But let me get to this real quick, because now we're down to like 40 seconds. Where'd the other story go? The Verge had a take. I don't know who The Verge is, but this is kind of a common take. Whales are dying, but it's not because of wind farms. Of course not. So this is what they say. The data seems to be pointing overwhelmingly to ship strikes, says Riedenberg, a comparative anatomist at the Icahn School of Medicine, whose research focuses on marine mammals. So imagine this. I got to watch my time. I got to have a perfect time in here. 15 seconds. So here's the deal. Boats are bad because they use fossil fuel. It can't possibly be the fault of the people building the wind turbines, dropping depth charges, and sounding pulse energy sounds. See you next time on Right on the Left Coast podcast. Thank you for listening.